It's a good day. It's a good day. In my last church, you guys know I like to tell jokes and I like humor and things like that. In my last church, somebody sent me an email that it was called Words of Wisdom and had lots of different funny things. But the very first line was this. It said, "There's a fine line between a long, drawn-out sermon and a hostage situation." Some of you are like, oh no, what are we in for? So today, actually, we're going to talk about what is actually funny and what is not funny. That's what we're going to... No, I'm kidding. I thought that was quite humorous and can be true. This morning, we're going to talk about the fact that the grace says you're mighty. And we're going to be looking at the story of Gideon in Judges chapter 7. This is what happens with Gideon. So God calls Gideon to fight the Midianites who are oppressing the country, the nation of Israel. Gideon has 32,000 soldiers. If you've been in church or Sunday school, you'll know this story, but that's okay. 32,000 soldiers, and God comes to him and says, "That's too many. That's too many soldiers." You know, I don't know anybody that leads an army that thinks that they have... I don't know anybody that leads an army, but I can just imagine that when they do, they probably never think that they have enough soldiers. But God says it's too many. And so through this long process, God eliminates them and brings them down to 300 soldiers. And, I wonder what was going through Gideon's mind as God takes him through this process. I mean, he demonstrates faith and the ability to trust God and to step out into something that must have been really difficult to enter battle with only 300. But he does it, and as a result, God does something incredible, something miraculous, and he defeats the Midianites, which their army is thousands upon thousands in comparison to the 300. It's a fantastic story of both God's faithfulness, but Gideon's willingness to trust the Lord. The thing is, Gideon didn't start there. And that's Judges 7. Gideon didn't start there. If you just flip back one chapter to Judges 6, when you first find Gideon, he's hiding in a hole in the ground. And it's a wine press. What they would do, right, is they'd dig a big hole and they'd dump all the grapes in there, and they had a whole system to basically make wine down in the hole. And he's down in there and he's threshing grain. He's doing that to hide from the Midianites. So when if you don't know, the way that threshing grain would work is they'd have it on a sheet of some kind, and they would toss it up into the air, and the air takes away the chaff, the light stuff, and the seed falls back down. Well, yeah, have you ever noticed there's not a whole lot of breeze or in a hole, right? In a pit. It would have been pretty ineffective what he was doing. But he's down there, he's in a hole, he's hiding from the enemy. The enemy that God is about to call him to fight. And when God shows up, this is what God says to him. It says, "The angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, and he said to him, 'The Lord is with you, mighty warrior.'" Now, I wonder, if when the angel of the Lord says that, if he didn't kind of grin a little, talking to a guy in a hole. But think about this. He's in a pit. He's hiding. And God shows up and says, "The Lord's with you, mighty warrior." I'm assuming that Gideon's in the pit all by himself, but I think he probably went, good. Are you talking to somebody over there? He calls him a mighty warrior. I mean, this is a stunning phrase from the Lord towards Gideon, a man hiding in a hole. This story is just filled with the grace of God. And what God says to Gideon is full of grace. Grace is the unearned approval of God in our life, right? This guy's hiding in a hole, and God doesn't say, "Hey, you chicken, come on up out of there." God speaks to him where he is, where he's at, and calls him mighty. Because this is what the grace of God does in our life. Gideon doesn't do anything to earn it. He hasn't deserved it. And in fact, in our worldly view of things, we would look at him and say, he's completely disqualified. How can you use that guy to defeat an army? Now, and when you put that together with the fact that when he finally gets out of the wine press and he starts to do what God wants him to do, and he's got 32,000, and then God says, it's too many. God knew what Gideon was up to. And he was testing the resolve that he had. Because grace looks at us for who we are, who God says we are. Grace doesn't look at us for where we're at. Grace looks at us in a way that says, this is who God says you are. Mighty warrior. The Lord's with you. Let me ask you to consider where you're at in your life right now. What would God say to you? What would God say to you? And even as I ask the question, I know for some of you, it immediately begins to feel somber and serious and maybe a little bit heavy as you think, there's this in my life and there's this in my life. And you begin to identify with the pit that you're in instead of what God might say about you. Because God would look at you and say, you're mighty right where you are. I don't know about you, but that messes with me. See, religion, the Spirit of God calls us mighty. The spirit of religion would tell us things like, well, once you get that area of your life right, then it's okay. Maybe if you pray some more or read your Bible some more or serve some more, then it would be okay for God to say that. Once you sin less, or once you get angry less, once you yell at your kids a little bit less, then God could say something good about you. Religion likes to tell us that grace will bring us back to the status quo, or even a little bit worse than that. Religion will tell us that God will forgive you, but if you were here, grace just brings you right back to there now. And you have to work hard to get back to where you were, and then keep working hard to get going, to keep going and climbing with God, or going deeper, or however you want to say it. But the fact is this, is that grace looks at you even in the midst of a pit and says, you're mighty, right where you are. That's why I'd say this messes with me. Because our whole worldly system is about what we earn and what we can deserve. And God says, you don't deserve any of it, but I will use you to defeat the enemies in your life. That's stunning, isn't it? That he's that good and that gracious to us. That he is just willing to give it to us, his approval, his favor in our life, when we haven't done a single thing to deserve it. Grace focuses on solutions, not problems. Grace doesn't ignore the problem. I mean, it doesn't deny that it's there. But it looks towards the Lord to solve it. Because grace is about restoring, not blaming. Grace is about raising us up into something better. I've noticed that I've noticed that grace demands more from us than the law. Have you ever noticed that as you've read through the Bible? Jesus makes it really evident early on in his ministry when he says things like, you know, the law says don't murder. He says, I tell you that if you even hate somebody in your heart, it's the same thing. It's like, oh, I thought grace was like easy. Grace will demand more from you. Here's the thing. See, and right away you're like, oh, grace is more difficult. You don't earn it. It's given to you. It's completely dependent upon Him. That's why it can be more demanding of you. Some of you are like, I don't know about that. I think it should depend on me. Right? We have to, each and every one of us, grab a hold of the depth of God's grace towards us. The unearned approval, favor. He approves of you. He looks at you and He smiles. He looks at you and you make His heart sing. He looks at you and he's thrilled about your life. And I know that as I say those things, you think, yeah, but there's this and there's this. And grace doesn't focus on problems. Grace focuses on solutions. Grace looks at who you are and the pit that you might be in and calls you mighty. God calls you mighty. So let me ask you again. If God were to talk to you about where you are right now in your life, what's He going to say to you? Is He going to say you're mighty? Okay, the three of you believe it. All right, that's good. Three. We can work with three. Gideon can work with 300. We'll work with three. All right. Hebrews 4:16. I will make this a hostage situation. I'm telling. Hebrews 4:16 says, let us then approach the God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. You know, when we're in need, there is a temptation to hide in a hole. Especially if the result of our need is because of our own weakness, our own failure, our own sin. And what happens then many times is we're the temptation is just to make the best of our situation. Because we think, well, I got myself into it. How many of you grew up with a mom that said, well, you made your bed, now you have to lie in it? Mom, if you listen to this, that's the truth. You said that a lot. We try to make the best of it. And there's this temptation to want to hide when we need things, when we need help and grace and people to come alongside us. You know, it's not uncommon for people when their marriage is struggling to hide at work instead of leaning into the grace of God to be a better spouse. You know, I know I'm having a little bit of fun with it, but this is the way that we hide. When we're in need, there's a temptation to hide in a hole. Hiding doesn't exactly say confidence, does it? But grace is the thing that allows us to approach God with confidence. This unearned approval just isn't based upon our performance. It's not based upon if we're good or we're bad in terms of what we do. Those things, don't get me wrong, it's important what we do. But the way that God talks to us, his ability to work in our life isn't based upon our performance. See, if we let our performance tell us how much confidence we have to access God, boy, that's going to be a roller coaster, isn't it? It says that we're to approach Him with confidence in our time of need. You can still be in a pit and God will call you a mighty warrior. The word confidence there means to be free in your speech. means to be just unreserved, to be fearless or free from fear, and to have even cheerful courage. What does that mean for you and me? What it means is that we get to go and to be received into God's presence at any point in time. At any point in time. And God looks at us. He doesn't swing the door open. The door is already open. The door is open and we walk in. He says, "I'm so happy to see you, mighty warrior." I'm so glad you're here, son, daughter. I've made you strong. I've made you in my image. I've made you to be loved and to love. It means that we can go right to him. Even right after that we've failed, we can go to him. We don't have to maneuver ourselves to get things right. We can just go to him. And because it's confidence means a freedom in speech, you can tell him. You can talk to him freely and openly about where you're at and what you're thinking and how you feel about what you've done or what's been done to you. One of the things that I've learned along the way, and I'll be honest, I would still struggle with this, is that you don't have to promise that you'll never do it again. Everybody in this room has prayed that at some point. I promise God I'll never do it again. I'm not saying it isn't good to make a commitment. What I'm saying is we think that the promise somehow gains us grace. That's what I mean. Okay, God, I'm convincing you that I'm serious about this. I'll never do it again. And, oh, okay, well, you'll never do it again. Well then, all right, I'll forgive you. See, grace is a one-way street. It's unearned, it's undeserved. It's a one-way street from God to us. Now, we're meant to live in it. We're meant to share it with one another. But it's one way. Our only response when we fail, when we sin, when we've messed up, even for the millionth time, our only response is to turn to him with confidence and ask him to forgive and to help us. You know, when you turn to him, you say, "God, forgive me. You and I both know I've done this again. Forgive me. Only you, Lord, can change my heart. Only you can keep me from stumbling." Do you know that there's a verse in Jude that says, "Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling"? That's a great verse. Do you not? I don't know about you. Don't you wake up in the morning expecting some stumbling? "Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling." He can keep you from ending up in a pit. He says, "God, I surrender my life new and fresh to you right here, right now. Because, Father, I believe that you have a better plan for me. So I come before you to ask you to work in my life by grace, that you make me into the person that you say I am." Because God looks at you and says, "You're mighty." Grace brings you into this place with God, where not only he calls you mighty, but it empowers you then to defeat your enemies, even though you might have very little to work with. Grace allows you to completely trust him, to trust him more completely with your weaknesses. So the fact is this, is you can go to him with confidence even where you are right now. No matter what your week's been like or your day, your morning, right where you are right now, you can go to him and say, God, I come to you just by faith, believing that I can come to you, that you hear me, that there actually is nothing in the way now between us. Because Jesus has made the way. I will find grace and help right now in my time of need. John 1 and 14. There it is. All right. It says this. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We've seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus came full of grace and truth because honestly, as humanity, we need both. We need as much grace as we do truth. We need grace just as much as we need truth. I've noticed in years of pastoring that many believers, many people that follow Christ, that they know truth. They know what's right. They know what's wrong. They know what they should do. They know what they shouldn't do. And it seems many times that we have more truth than we have grace for each other and ourselves. I mean, you may know that grace is this unearned approval of God. But what does that look like in your everyday life? What does it look like? Well, one of the things it looks like is God calls you mighty, even when you feel weak. It means that God likes you. He loves you, and he likes you. Some of us, we have trouble liking ourselves because of the choices we've made, right? It doesn't make sense to us that this God who's holy and right could actually like us. Jesus says to his disciples at one point, he says, no longer do you call me Lord, now you call me friend. Well, do you call somebody a friend that you don't like? Some of you are like, sometimes. God desires to know us, to be with us, to go through our day with us. Grace is the application of God's truth into our lives. It's where our understanding of who he is, but also his ways. Not just who he is, but the way that he does things. It's the application of him, of who he is, and the way that he does things into our life that changes us, and we do the things that he does. We know who we are in him, and we know the way that he wants us to do things. His ways become our ways. It becomes real, and it changes us. I want to tell you a story. About a woman that, this is quite a few years ago. It was a woman that was coming to me for help. And so I was meeting with her on a pretty regular basis, once a week or once every other week. This is 10 or 12 years ago. And she'd had some really horrific things done to her. Really horrific. And as she came to meet me and we talked, she told me a bit of her story. And I'll be honest, right from the start, I'd never made it a secret. I was up front with her and I'd said, I'm going to lead you towards forgiveness. I didn't hide that. Was not a secret of any kind. And so I told her this. And as we met not many times, 3, 4. And she'd tell me her story, and I would ask her questions, and she got to a point where she was stuck. And so I said something like this to her. I said, right now you're in a place of unforgiveness towards those who've done some really awful things to you. The only way out from the torment that you're experiencing now as an adult, she was in her 60s. So the only way out from the torment that you're experiencing now as an adult is to forgive. It's the only way to be free. She didn't like that. And she was pretty unhappy with me that I'd said that. And she started to get angry. She began to point her finger at me. And she started to raise her voice. And she says, "You don't know what happened to me. You don't understand." And the truth was, I probably didn't understand, even though she told me the story, because the things that had happened to her, I've never experienced. And she began to yell, and she got more and more angry, and she said, "If you just knew, if you understood what happened to me, then you'd understand that I don't need to forgive. What I need is just to be loved." And she got more and more angry. And then she ended with, after yelling at me for a couple minutes, she ended with, "And by the way, I have forgiven them." And I'll be honest, like a match thrown onto gasoline, I then asked this question. I asked her this. I said, "So if you have forgiven, why are you not free?" And that really set her off. She got really angry. And now it's the right question, I'll be honest. I didn't ask it mean, I just asked. It was the right question. It was truth. And I was saying it, honestly, I felt I was saying it with grace. She was not receiving it with grace. But it exploded for her, and she stood up and she yelled some more, and then she stormed out of my office, and she was yelling as she's walking down the hallway. This is a church that had 5 people on staff, and they're coming out wondering, "What is going on in here?" Right? And she's rolling out of the church, and she's yelling, "Don't you ever talk to me again." I'm like, okay. And so life went on. A couple weeks later, she came back. She'd set an appointment with me. And I was like, "Oh, no, what's this going to look like, right?" And she sets an appointment. She comes back. And she enters. She sits down in my office. And she begins to talk to me. She says, now, you have to understand, this woman professed to be a Christian. She believed that she was forgiven, right? I believe she was a Christian. But just to explain, like, this was somebody that, when I say, you know, we know what's right and what's wrong. So she comes back and she says, I went away. I went away really angry. I'm like, "Yeah, I noticed." And she said, "I went away and I prayed." And she said, "This is what I prayed. I prayed that God would show you how wrong you were." That's what she said to me. She says, I prayed that God would help you understand just how wrong you were, that I didn't need to forgive, that I'm wounded and hurt, and all I really needed was to be loved. And she says, that I needed to be loved, not forgiven. She says, as I was praying, she says, I felt God say to me, begin to talk to me, and he said this, "But you haven't forgiven. You want to be healed and set free, but you won't admit your own sin of unforgiveness." She said, "I felt God say it to me, just direct." See, James 5 says, "Confess your sins to one another that you may be healed." In that moment when God's talking to her, she's having this encounter with both truth and grace. She knew the truth, but she didn't want to admit to it or face it. But the fact is this, when she forgave those that had abused her, she asked the Lord to free her from her unforgiveness, and he did. She'd done this before she walked into my office. And she described to me that as she forgave, that it broke years of hurts and torment in her life. That it broke and it left. When she walked into my office, I knew something was different about her. From the moment she walked in, because she looked lighter, her countenance, right, the way she carried herself was different. She looked free. She actually had a smile on her face and had joy. You could just, you know, joy from the Lord radiates, right? It was evident to me when she, from the moment she walked in, that the meeting was going to go very different than the one, the last one we'd had.
Thank God.
Yeah, that's right. Because she'd forgiven. It was the application of truth into her life bought by grace. See, here's the point. She went away and she's praying that, you know, God, show him how wrong he is. Even when we pray it wrong, God is just that good that he'll bring grace and truth into our lives. I don't know where you're at this morning, but you might be caught deep in a place of torment through unforgiveness. You just might be in a pit of your own making. You need to know this. You might be praying a certain thing and saying, God, I need this to get, for you to get me out of this. Hear this right now. God wants to meet you with grace. I don't know what the truth looks like for you in that situation. If it's unforgiveness, then the truth is you have to forgive. I know that. That one's pretty straightforward. You can come with confidence into his presence and find what you need. What you need might not always be what you want. Have you ever noticed that? Now, God wants to give us what we want as well, but first he's going to deal with the things that we need. You can be free today. The pit that you're in, you can be free from it today because of the grace of God. Because he approves of you. He looks at you and says, you're mighty. It's the application of truth into our life. It looks beyond even what are often our misguided attitudes and beliefs. And he sees and speaks the potential of who he says we are over our lives because it's unearned approval. You see, it's more, grace is more than just the forgiveness of our sins. Grace is the power to be like Jesus. Grace isn't permission to sin. It's not even the tolerance of poor choices. Grace is not the tolerance of poor choices. Grace doesn't ignore sin. Instead, it actually recognizes how ugly, how destructive, how harmful it is in our lives. And our tendency to want to justify it. Our tendency to deceive ourselves in our own thinking in order to tolerate it, which is why we need truth. So when you know the truth sets you free. See, truth without grace actually leads to judgment, and grace without truth leads to a powerless life. That's why we need both together. God offers that to you today. Whatever pit you find yourself in, God makes this available for you. He calls you a mighty warrior. You can be free right here, right today, right this morning. So we're going to pray. I'm going to invite the worship team to come on back up. We're going to pray for you today. Where you are right now, I'm just going to invite you to close your eyes. Just close your eyes and begin to talk. See, okay, you can go with confidence right now. It might not be lots of confidence, but it can be confidence. You can go to him. He hears you. You don't have to, even have somebody pray for you. We'll offer that in a minute, but you don't need that. You don't. Go to him and say, Father, I come to you now. Here's my need. Begin to talk to him about whatever it is. If you need to forgive, let me encourage you. Don't let the enemy have any more ground in your heart and mind. Don't let torment live any longer in you, but be free. Forgive those. Forgive yourself. Forgive those who've hurt you. Forgive yourself for the mistakes that you've made. Thank you, Lord. Father, I'm asking now, God, I speak now an encounter, not just with your truth, but with your grace as well. That we each and every one, Lord, would meet you. You are the truth. And we would be free in you in Jesus' name. Whatever pit you find yourself in this morning, whether it's a physical illness or a difficult relationship or a financial problem or I don't know, maybe feeling a little bit lost in life. Whatever pit you find yourself in, let me encourage you right now to look up, to look, hear the Lord talking to you, hear him speaking to you, that you are mighty, that you are more than a pit that you're in. That grace would begin to lift you, to raise you up. Father, I pray for each one of us, God, as your people, that God, we would walk into and in the fullness of who you say we are. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We love you in Jesus' name. Jesus, I invite you to stand.